Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, this is Jennifer Hellman on air, and I am really pleased and just thrilled to have Pam Erlin, who is also known as Divine Dimension. She is an oral reader. She does amazing intuitive readings by reading your energy field. So without further ado, I would like to introduce and welcome Pam to the show.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for doing this. So let's get started by, first of all, saying you are going to take readings. You're going to take calls tonight.
That's fine. That would be great.
Okay. So let me give the numbers real quick. That's 877-876-5227 in the U.S. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. So, first question, what's an aura?
An aura is just another term for your electromagnetic energy field.
Okay.
And it's just the energy around you. Everything has it. Every body has one. Humans, plants, rocks, animals, everything, everyone.
And you've been you started very early noticing the different colors around people.
According to my mother, I don't have many actual recollections of when I started, but according to my family members, it began since I was a baby. You know, I would point, you know, above people's heads. Another thing I would do is I would point people out in the grocery store and say, oh, he's blue, she's green, he's pink, and I had colors associated with people, and then I also had a strong interest in music, and then I would associate sounds with color, and that's how my mom knew that something was different.
Oh, wow, that's really amazing. I didn't realize the music. So there's so many colors in the universe. I mean, is there more a specific number of colors within the aura or the energy fields?
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting? I really feel like, you know, God, the universe, whatever you call it, what have you, really places children in the appropriate household in which they can learn, because I was born into a family where my father was a color matcher for Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they would have these events where you could bring in your family on certain times of the year when they would have a company picnic. And, you know, my father would bring me and my brother, and, you know, we would get a chance to view him working. And he always was standing there in his lab coat matching up, you know, hundreds of thousands of colors. And I remember he told me this, you know, when I was just a kid. You know, he said that I walked up to the lab machine and I said, wow, now all those different kinds of brown, there's so many different shades of brown. How do you know what's what? So, and that's when he began teaching me, you know, this is this shade, this is that shade. And it reminded me of everything that I was seeing around people. So it really made sense to me. That's how I formulated, when I read people, that's how I can formulate what shade is what, because not only do I have that background of him teaching me the very many different shades of one color, but what I'm seeing without him having taught me, I saw all that before he could even teach me.
So I was able
to recollect what I was seeing, and it really made sense to me.
Okay, so when you see a color, how did you figure out what, I mean, each color really has almost their own characteristic.
Yes.
Associated. How did you figure that out?
Oh, that was life experience. Because I learned from a baby until now, and honestly, and many times, I'm still learning. There's always things to be learned.
Yes.
Yes, I'm still learning too. You know the different personality characteristics that a person with a brown primary color, you know, might hold, and it's different. Like if I say, okay, Jen, you're brown, you know, so you're going to be grounded and stable, but sometimes stuck in your own ways. That's right. Going to be different if your secondary color is blue, which may make you stuck in your own ways, but may also make you very empathic and absorbent of other people's emotions and emotionally willing to understand other people and more compassionate than, say, a brown with a yellow who's just kind of out for themselves.
Yes.
So, I mean, you learn these things over time via the experiences of, like, observing people. I've always been a wonderful observer, and, you know, thanks to that gift, you know, I could put two and two together to just understand that and just be observing and learning about people. It was very easy to formulate this little chart in my head of what I think that it means, and everyone has their own discernment capabilities, and you know, everyone has their own meanings for what different colors are. But I've noticed that not just with my definitions, but when I review other people's definitions of aura colors, we all seem to have gathered the same things, you know, without even thinking about each other. So I think that's amazing that, you know, say Pamela Osley, you know, who's a well-known authority in the subject, she came up with a lot of the same different descriptions as I did, but just she worded it differently.
Right.
So it's so interesting, the different concepts, but how it all seems to be the same general basis.
Now, you mentioned there's a primary color, and then they can have other colors. Is generally most people just one color, or are there many colors, or can the colors change even?
Well, you're born with a certain color. It will stay that color unless you have a life-altering experience. You know, some people who have dramatic trauma, car crashes, severe illness as someone is passing away, leaving this world, those are the times when, you know, your life color can change. But it's really rare. It's really rare. I think Raina, who was on your show, had a change in life color. You know, she had a traumatic incident, and she had a change in life color. I mean, this one is rare people that I've seen occur with. So, yes, it can happen. And then the secondary colors are the ones that change constantly. And we always have a lot of secondary colors because we as human beings are always experiencing things.
So
based upon what we're spiritually, emotionally, or psychologically experiencing, those secondary colors are going to change in their thickness.
Right.
In the way that I see them, whether they appear as smooth or sort of zigzaggy. Sometimes it looks like that. If someone's afraid, their aura doesn't look like a little round line around them. It can look a little blotchy. so it just
doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good. You always want to look for, you know, as an aura reader, you want to look for a clear color. If you see a cloudy color, if you see jagged edges around the line of energy around the person, that's not good. If the color is mixed too much, that's not good. It's like looking at rings of a tree. Each ring should be separate. You know, and they can be close together, but they need to have enough separation so that you can discern, okay, that's pink, and then there's blue around it, and then there's green. That's a healthy aura. You don't want to see it, you know, like a lot of times we as stressed out human beings can go and get our auras taken with the Kirlian photographers, if you ever heard
right.
of that. They take pictures of the secondary layers only. I've never really seen them take a picture of the primary colors, but mainly they just pick up the secondary colors. And sometimes if you view a Kirlian photographer's image, it can be very cloudy if you're going through something during that time or if you're just too stressed during that exact moment. That's not a good thing to see the colors blend.
Okay, so if the colors are, like, radiated, that's not good.
If they're what? I'm sorry?
Radiated, meaning they kind of slowly mix from one to the other. That is bad.
That's not really good.
It really should be a very clean line between the two colors.
Yeah, you want to see, they could be right up against each other. That's fine. You don't have to see a clean line between them, but you want to make sure they don't bleed over into the other colors.
Okay. Now, a lot of people are going through a lot of spiritual transformation right now, a lot of transition.
Yes.
So their secondary colors are they tending to get more of the opposite, or do you can you really see the shifts? Like, have you done a reading with one person and look at it and say, wow, you've really grown and understand what's going on, or do you have you been able to see a lot of your clients changing their colors?
I don't see them change their primary color unless it's a high level of spiritual evolution going on, which is really rare. I mean, I can't think of it maybe once that I can tell you right off the top of my head.
Okay.
You know, other than Raina, who had the traumatic incident, I don't really, for any spiritual-based reason, I don't see a change in life color. Normally, I see a change in the secondary colors.
Secondary.
And, you know, and I'm able to tell, you know, because it seems like there's a little shade of lime green or very light grass color green. Those two colors generally indicate that there's a bit of a transition if it shows up around the secondary color, as if it's just a tiny little patch of it, you know, all the way around, just a little thin line of it. Sometimes, especially when it's blurry, it can indicate that there's about to be a transition or that they're going through one.
So if they're stressed, does it tend to be more like red, since red is usually thought of as anger or passion or, I mean, it's or it doesn't matter?
No, not really. Contrary to popular belief, if you were to just look up aura color meaning on Google.com, red does not often show up as stress.
Really?
Red often shows up as a temper. It could show up as anger. But it can also show up as passion, you know, just drive and motivation,
right,
and strength and physical prowess and sexual energy, but it rarely shows up as outright stress. Normally it can show up as fear. You know, it could show up as fear. But stress can come across as gray and black. It could come across as black and white polka dots. I've seen it in, truly, I've seen it in so many manifestations, yeah.
that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
And it's hard to indicate the differences between stress and the beginning of an illness, because normally I'll see black and then, you know, black going into white with the black and white when one is beginning an illness, and then that fades into gray when one is sick.
Wow.
So that tells you right there how stress can be, how stress can cause disease.
Yes. And we do have a call. I want to welcome the caller.
Okay.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Very much enjoying your show. I've been doing a lot of reading on auras and Reiki and different things like that, and was about to go to bed and saw what the show was going to be about, and I was like, okay, well, it's meant to be, so so here I am. And you're able to give readings over the phone?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I would be very interested in that.
Great. What is your first name again?
My first name is Susan.
Susan. Oh, it's nice to meet you, Susan. Thanks for calling. What question did you have in general about your life or about your aura today?
Health-wise, definitely. Have a lot going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious.
Okay.
What you might get with that.
Okay. Well, for legal purposes, you know what I'm going to say. It can't be substituted for medical advice, but I will tell you, generally, when I see something and it's normally important, it does mean you need to go to the doctor, and I'm seeing a lot with you. Were you aware that you have some tendencies towards inflammation and your immune system is very stressed, especially right now? There's a lot of inflamed portions in your body. You do have the beginning stages, if not more, of arthritis. And you also could potentially have a lot of symptoms of fibromyalgia. And, you know, it's very strange because if you were to get a diagnosis on that, you know, fibromyalgia often comes up as symptoms of lupus and all different other things other than what it really is. And doctors really don't like to diagnose it. So I'm just really concerned about that. That's the first thing that I see. There are some secondary things that I'm concerned about as well. In your upper... I can't tell if it's the right or left side, probably the right. Sometimes I get that wrong when I look at people the wrong way. But there's something, you know, in the upper portions of your body closer to your lung or breast, you know, that is a concern to me that tells me that you need to have an x-ray. And I don't want to keep you, you know, get you afraid, but it's one of those things that, you know, if I see something that blotchy in that area, it generally means you need, you know, some further testing in that area, because that is a concern. And there's a lot of cloudy levels of blue in your aura, which tells me that, you know, you also are prone to, because of your inflammation that I was seeing in your body, you're prone to breathing concerns. So you have those three areas that you really need to look at, and you also have a tendency towards the iron problem in your blood. So really, please keep a watch on your health.
And you said iron in my blood?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it was inflammation throughout the body?
Absolutely, especially the joints.
Yes. And what about, you said something in the chest area?
Something in the upper torso area, around in your lung and breast, and yeah, just chest area.
Okay. Okay.
And breathing, you'd be concerned because of inflammation. You may be prone to allergies, asthma, all sorts of breathing difficulties more than most people. All those things come up as more than most people. You have an environment in your in the home in which you live that is prone to more mold than most people, and it actually shows up as like tiny little spores, you know, in your lungs. And that is something that can aggravate a situation that's already there with your inflammation in your body. So it's not helping with some environment that's around you daily.
And just let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Are you saying that you're feeling that the environment that I'm living in does create more mold?
Absolutely.
Huh. Interesting. That's very interesting. Well, let me just give you some validation. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if maybe some of what you're seeing up in the lung or breast area, I seem to have some of the fibromyalgia around there, but I also was diagnosed with costochondritis.
Yes.
So would that be in line with what you're picking up?
Yes, but there was more. The costochondritis showed up as a general level of inflammation that could cause breathing problems and pain, but there is another problem, and it could be like lung-related, you know, and you just need to watch out for it. But also, you know, with the fibromyalgia, it's something that you want to be careful not to just say, oh, well, I'm having pain, so it's because of the fibromyalgia, and I should, you know, expect that this would go away, you know, and get on an anti-inflammatory medication or whatever. You don't want to be so quick to assume that it's the fibromyalgia and the costochondritis, which are definitely related to one another, you know, along with the inflammation. I think it's a deeper problem that you probably need to look into.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, or is that pretty much? I mean, that's enough, right?
health-wise, that's it. That's about it. You know, be careful to make sure that you check the iron levels in your blood, but that was more of a minor problem that you could definitely, you know, it's not out of hand right now, but it has tendency occasionally to get out of hand. But it's not that big of a problem at this time.
Okay. And so in looking, I'm just curious because I'm trying to learn here, but mm-hmm. as you're seeing my aura, what does it look like?
It's actually more of a rare color. I'm seeing a little bit more this year of the aquamarines than I would normally ever see, and I don't know why this year I'm seeing this outbreak of aquamarine life colors everywhere where I didn't see them, like, for years before. It's just so funny. It just must be a different day and era right now. But your primary color is aquamarine, you know, and what that means generally for you as a whole is that you have a lifelong spiritual journey of being a mentor in some way, shape, or form to just about everybody that you meet. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a teacher, but I do see a lot of them that end up being teachers. But it does mean that you will have a teaching role, karmically speaking, in other people's lives, and they will look up to you via example. Even if they don't like it, they will look up to you and see something from you and learn something from you. and somehow later apply it to themselves and get something out of it. So make sure that you take care of yourself, because I see Aquamarine Jen
I am listening.
having health concerns more than most people, because it can be a draining experience if you don't really take care of yourself first and foremost, because that's just so important with the Aquamarine life color.
Okay.
So important.
Now, when you, I guess I wasn't aware that with reading auras, you can read for other situations also, not just health.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Generally, with the aura, once someone gives me a question, I use the aura reading to try to get into the different levels of the person, because that's where I see the color. You know, I see it at the conscious level of the person. I see it at the soul level. You know, I see it at the mental and psychological levels, and that's where we can get in and try to figure out what's going on. So was there anything that you wanted to ask me about that? Did you have a question, you know, clairvoyantly speaking?
Well, I have had a lot of experiences in my life where I feel the heart chakra has, you know, closed down some.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be interested in knowing, you know, on a emotional level, with trust and things like that, or whatever you might pick up around my heart chakra as far as relationships go. That would be very important to me also.
On the general, with your heart chakra, what's associated and what comes up clairvoyantly for me is that there's going to be this huge soul connection type situation coming up for you. And I'm getting, clairvoyantly speaking, the numbers I'm seeing on the clairvoyant blackboard in my brain, that's what I like to call it, when I'm seeing something in, about the future, there's a person coming with letters F as in Frank, R as in red, D as in dog, F-R-D. Those letters are coming up as like the next soul connection that that's supposed to be significant for you, that sort of pulls your heart chakra open a bit and helps you understand in a way that you would normally teach others, and takes you out of your teaching role as an aquamarine and sort of reverses it. that is not supposed to be coming until January. But looking at your past with the heart chakra block concern, what concerns me is that your role as aquamarine has put you in a place of endless patience towards soul connections, like endless patience, endless understanding, endless compassion, to the point of giving. And your body is just like, that's why you have so much inflammation. Your body is telling you to spiritually protect yourself. You know, that's why all the inflammation and problems and shutdowns, because spiritually speaking, there was a soul connection at some point in time that just completely rendered you helpless and by no fault of their own. And while that could still be ongoing, I see you pulling yourself back from that over time. Just more out of self-protection, if anything.
I'm really sorry to ask you to do this, but I didn't quite understand the last part. You were saying that at some point...
At some point, you're going to pull yourself back from some past soul connection that's going to want to just render you helpless, sort of spiritually and emotionally, via just attaching themselves to your heart chakra energy, to the point where it's hard, it's been hard to just sort of have a daily existence when you spiritually are connected to someone, to the extent that they can't really logically be with you in reality, but because there's some logical block with some soulmate that you had, and it can't fully come to fruition. And I think that because it's such a block with it, and your heart chakra just sort of closed down for protection purposes, you're going to logically and emotionally and spiritually begin to make a cut. And then that's going to transform you to a different level.
I understand. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
I understand that now. I wasn't hearing you clearly before, so I just wanted to make sure that I was understanding what you were saying.
Yeah, but do you follow me? Do you understand where I'm coming from with that?
I do. Yeah. Yes. No, I absolutely do. You're very good, honey.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to make sure you got what you were supposed to get out of it spiritually and that you understand.
Yes. Good. And when you say that you do readings like on a soul level, what does that entail?
What I do is called, now this is when I use the aura, and it's probably its most deepest extent, I channel into it, and that's called soul essence channeling. And it just means that I just try to use, especially the soul level of one's aura, but also the conscious level and the subconscious level, I use as a modality to channel into a person in your life or yourself, and I ask that person a question. It really helps with loved ones and past soul connections from whom we really didn't get closure. It helps if you want to understand your boss or your daughter or yourself. And, like, if I wanted to ask Jen something and, you know, and Jen wasn't telling me, I could contact a soul essence reader and say, hey, can you ask Jen how she really feels about this situation? And what will happen is, like, the soul essence reader, you know, in this case me, you know, I could say, well, you know, Jen's saying this back to me, and it sort of feels like I just become that person. As I channel into them, it sort of feels like I'm spiritually tapping into a portion of them, and I hear their words, I feel them course throughout my body and my brain, and it feels like I can just become them and tell you, like, exactly what they're thinking at the deepest levels of themselves, exactly what they're feeling, exactly what their soul is telling me, their subconscious is telling me, what they consciously know. It's important to understand what a person consciously feels as opposed to what's really going on at the soul level, because a person can tell you something consciously or not tell you, but then at the soul level, it could be remotely different because we're always growing and changing and evolving, and we may not yet know what we want to tell someone, you know?
Right, yeah, I understand. Well, very, very good. I can't thank you enough. It's been very, very interesting, and I will not take any more time in case there's other callers, and bless you both, and I will continue watching the show. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, you're welcome. Namaste. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you
super.
So much
Bye-bye.
For calling.
Thank you.
Now, do you want to give your website?
Yes, that would be great. That would be great. It's www.aurareader.com, and you can contact me via email there, you know, and there are several different affordable methods of payment there as well. And I have, normally I can be contacted live through that site, you know, or I can be sent an email, you know, and then we can arrange for payment and scheduling. And that's good. I'm more affordable than most readers as well.
Yes, and she's awesome. I've had many readings from Pam, and it is amazing how she can read the different levels and tell you to yourself what you're really thinking at the soul level or the subconscious level. And it's kind of like, yeah, that just feels right. It's very interesting having a full-blown reading from her, and we do have another caller. Welcome, caller. Thank you for calling.
Hi, this is Chris in Arizona.
Hello, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Jen.
And what question do you have today for Pam?
Well, I was really happy to know that Pam can read auras over the phone. And I was really amazed with her gift to see auras at a very young age. And so I would like to know what my primary aura is.
Yeah, let me look at it for a second, Christine.
I went, oh.
It's a pretty easy one. Also, yeah, I'm getting you guys tonight. I'll tell you what, I'm getting, you know, the rare people come out at night.
Yeah.
I can't just get a yellow or a green or a blue. No, we have to get a magenta. That's great, though. They're actually a little bit more common than the aquamarine that called us a while ago, Susan. But, Christine, you definitely have the life color of magenta, and what that generally means for you is that you're going to be a good bit different, and you are not one to withhold an opinion, and, you know, you try to please people, but not overly so. You just kind of do your own thing. You just kind of do your own thing in life, but at the same time, you went through this phase as a child where you absolutely tried to please everyone under the face of the sun, and once you, you know, woke up, you know, somewhere between 20 and 21, you know, you recognize that that wasn't going to work for you anymore, and you began this path of self-recognition and self-acknowledgement and understanding of self, and it was really, really good. And people, you will be very selective in your friends. Everyone may love you, but you will be very selective in your friendship and relationship choices. Because once you do let someone in, it may take a while, but they're pretty much there for a long haul if you let them in.
Now, was I born with the color magenta?
Mm-hmm.
And I still have that magenta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. And a magenta is sort of like a purple, pink, red?
It's a darker version of purple. It's a real dark version of that, kind of a real grounded version of purple and violet and fuchsia. It's a lot of different colors kind of that made this one, and there's so many different spiritual components of it and unique properties that it's just one of the more amazing enigma type colors out there.
Isn't that interesting, because that was the color of my first car, and while that's not the color of my carpet or the color of the paint on my wall, it is a color that attracts me.
Yeah, normally that's the case, Christine. I've seen that many people are attracted to the colors and, you know, their life colors, and sometimes their secondary colors, too.
All right. Now, can you read children's aura?
Yes, absolutely.
So there's no, like, it's not taboo. Like, I'm having my granddaughter, Charlie, and my granddaughter, Haley, they're actually having their aura portrait painted long distance. The artist has never met them.
Oh. So
and
she's gonna do
not done
like
with the machine, it's done by intuition.
Oh yeah. Those are the best though.
And
normally you'll be really satisfied with those results. I've had that done and the artist didn't know what to do, but but once she called me and figured out what she was seeing, it was good.
Now I don't know if I'm right on this or not, but you can correct me. Charlie's 9, and I thought her aura was the indigo.
And what is her first name again?
Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I. And she's 9.
Hold on, let me look. She does have an indigo primary color. But she also has some really strong secondary colors as well. And her secondary colors are a little bit opposing, you know, to her primary color, because she's got this really strong-willed personality with the indigo and this, you know, real different, questionable, you know, I want to figure out everything personality with that indigo. But she's also got this really, you know, intellectual, this really intellectual violet. I mean, more so intellectual than most, because it's surrounded by a logical tan secondary color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to, you know, have her sort of question herself in life, and you want to be there for her as much as you can. And this may be like, you know, a bit of a tender spot in your heart to know that sometimes when you want to be there and you can't always be there as much as you'd like to, because you know that some people are just not going to understand her. So just try to be there for her as much as you can. And she's got some opposing components of her aura, and she needs to really, you know, have some stable people, you know, to whom she can look up and trust, so that she can, they can just sort of allow her to flourish into who she's going to become.
Okay.
Because you don't want to see her as defiant. You don't want to see her and miss and judge her. I know you wouldn't, but other people should not ever label this child defiant or anything of that nature. She's just extremely intelligent, and she just she knows what's right.
I think she is very intuitive and doesn't even know it. She's done premonitions, and I've seen her premonitions come true. And, of course, I've not brought it up to her. I've just kind of noted it in my mind that, wow, you know, talk about speaking it into existence.
Right.
And, again, she doesn't. She wouldn't even remember mentioning it, but I was
right.
And then her cousin, my second granddaughter, Haley, and it's H-A-L-E-Y. Haley is, well, she's 1.5 years old. I see yellow.
She actually has 2 life colors, which can happen. But it's good because they do complement each other. Now, she'll be full of energy, and you're right about the yellow, by the way. What you may not have seen yet is the other life color, which is pink. And she also has a violet secondary color. And she'll have a love for purple growing up. I don't know. That's just her thing. And but she's with that pink and then primary color. She's going to have some difficulty in just trying to accept who she is, you know, and just let that flow. But the yellow is absolutely full of energy. So it's really good. It's
well,
really
I know that she already hovers and has many people visiting her from the other side. And so I've already sort of like said, Haley, you have permission to tell them to go away so you can sleep.
Right.
And it's mostly people that love her.
Right.
They're attracted to her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just the pink and yellow combination. You don't see that those colors combined very often. So it's going to make her incredibly charismatic in this lifetime. So she will attract all kinds.
Thank you. It'll be interesting now after talking to you, because I'm not going to tell the artist. It'll be interesting to see what the artist comes up with.
Yeah, the artist may think that Haley is purple or violet or something of that nature. And I know she's going to come up with some darker blues and indigos, you know, and some greens. She's probably going to see some secondary greens that may be going on or may have been going on at the time of the drawing. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see that as well.
It will be interesting because this artist does have the habit of also seeing their guides and putting the guides in the portrait.
Oh, I love when they do that.
Yeah. You know, if she sees it, if the artist sees it, she'll put the guides in. And,
oh, I love that.
So it's just all falling into place.
That's great.
Yeah, Pam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Super hugs, girl.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Oh, thank you very much, Christy. You take care. Now, so combinations do happen. How often, percentage-wise, do two life colors show up?
Oh, you know, it's not extremely common. You know, based upon the statistics that I did for this year, you know, what I've seen so far is that it's been about 50% of us, you know, are going to have, you know, two colors or more. But only about 30% of us are going to have three colors. And four, I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Wow. And now you mentioned a lot of people are where you have another caller.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. I knew they would be calling tonight. Welcome, caller.
Hi.
And what is your name?
My name is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. What question do you have for Pam? Thank you for calling, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Barbara. It's nice to have you.
Just general, like, the color of my aura and what's going on with me, stuff with it. And just sound kind of nervous.
Oh, no. Don't be. I don't bite. You absolutely have blue. It was just royal, clear, sometimes a little bit dark because I know that you're going through a life transition where you just kind of need the universe to let up so that something needs to give here soon. but basically the blue in your life color makes you incredibly compassionate. That's really good. You need to sort of stand up and don't be a pushover. You know, when it comes to your friends, your family members, people that you love, don't be a pushover. Don't wait too long on people to make decisions for you. You know that it's okay right now, especially, you know, to make your own choices and not be swayed by other people around you and what they're not doing. Didn't say what they're doing. Like, your soul came up as what people are not doing to show you their loyalties and where their interests lie.
So what was, don't give up on what people are not doing?
Don't let what people are not doing hold you up for making your own personal transitions and your own personal changes.
So whatever people are not doing, don't let that hold me up?
Yeah, exactly. Don't let that block you.
Okay. Now, what does,
I'm just so nervous. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
No, don't be. Don't be. You were going to say, what does the blue mean?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, on the general, it means that you're compassionate and that you're incredibly sensitive and that you're very in tune to your emotions and to the emotions of others. It also can mean you're more practical and grounded than most people and that you tend to hold a positive balance between, you know, negativity and positivity. You try to be positive, but you also know when you need to be a realist. So it's more about balance. You know, your main goals in life will mainly be balance.
So do you see any, like, major changes coming in my life or health, anything, relationship?
I see an actual relocation.
Relocation?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a relocation, and it just will come to the point where you feel like it's necessary for emotional and financial purposes, and it will actually be better for you, even though it may frighten you, and you may feel like while you're going through it that it's the worst choice and that you couldn't have imagined that it would happen and all of these different sort of things. You probably really won't be expecting it much, but when you decide to do it, the moment that you actually get there and it gets done, you'll have a peace about it, and your life will be incredibly better after that point.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're very good.
Thanks. I'm glad
and health-wise, everything looks okay?
Health-wise, okay. I know that there was a problem, a bit of a block in the sacral chakra area of your aura, and that governs the reproductive tract.
Yes.
Okay, and basically that problem is now resolved, so
yes.
You don't have to worry. Like, that's the main message that I'm getting about that today from your higher power and also just from looking at, you know, the colors in your aura around that area. Even though things are kind of not moving in the way that they're supposed to be moving, it's okay. It's okay because you don't have the problem that you did. Whatever that problem was before is not there.
Okay.
So other than that, it's really good. I know that what you need to watch out for is your right leg. You know, there's some sciatica or something with a nerve running down, and you kind of have to watch out for bone loss and cartilage issues in your knee. But that happens. That happens. You know, just be careful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Barbara.
So a lot in a lot of your readings, do you do the medical?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it comes up as such an important thing. And, you know, it's very important for us to always watch out for our health, first and foremost.
Well, you mentioned that I need to check out my health. Do you pick something up?
Yeah.
Figured.
Yeah, because, Jen, you know, there's an issue with your breathing that has been coming up, and that you need to watch out for your breathing at night and what you might need, if you don't already have it, is like just like some treatments, some breathing treatments or some oxygen or something just temporarily to boost your stamina while you're sleeping, because you're not getting the proper levels of oxygen while you sleep.
I'm not even really think I'm getting proper amount of sleep.
Okay, that's another issue.
That's another issue, okay.
That's another issue, but you know that's more spiritual.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a spiritual thing going on there. That's a bit of spiritual transition going on. I think that your body is trying to detoxify, both literally and figuratively speaking, and you're getting out just years of spiritual gunk, and your body is too, and that could be why you're not, sometimes as our bodies are releasing stuff spiritually, you know,
right.
And physically too, it's hard to put stuff in while you're taking stuff out. So once it's done releasing, then you may find that your oxygen levels get a lot better and you won't feel like stuffy in your nose, you won't feel sinusy, you won't feel as congested, you won't feel like you're not getting enough air.
Right. Most definitely. Most definitely. So, because you do so many health issues, do you, I mean, you tend to, I mean, are you studying more about health and different, like the psychology and the issues that you see, do you try and get more of a, you know, Eastern or Western idea about medical, or do you just kind of go by what your guidance tells you?
I have to have a basic conceptual knowledge of both Eastern and Western medicine modalities.
Right.
Because I have to know what I'm seeing. You know, there were many years as a child, you know, that I would look at something and, you know, as a 5-year-old, there's no way you're going to know, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, her aura looks like a, you know, field of strawberries and it's just black and red dots and that's what fibromyalgia means. you wouldn't even know what that means at that age. But as I grew older and took a huge interest in medicine, I started to learn and study and read books. I can't tell you how many anatomy books I mean, I could just quote pages right off the top of my head. And you have to know these things.
It's very interesting when you need to learn something. They really guide you to certain books and certain areas.
Right, right. And my background, you know, I do have a master's degree in psychology, and, you know, that's helpful as well because it helped me to identify, you know, what I was seeing in terms of mental illness, because you don't want to forget about the importance of mental illness, you know, as a whole to who we are spiritually, physically, and mentally.
Most definitely. You know, you have so many gifts. Do you ever get tired? How do you keep yourself going?
Yeah, you know, I've had to learn, you know, I'm, aside from being a spiritualist, I had to learn the hard way as a human being about how to replenish myself health-wise. And I've had more health struggles. and many spiritualists do. You know, I see this in my line of work with people who are involved in spirituality definitely have a lot of health issues, but I just try to eat a vegan diet,
right.
And, you know, with a vegan diet and, you know, just stay away from meat and dairy and try to keep yourself clean, try to abstain from alcohol and caffeine, and that pretty much helps.
Yes, it does. And we have another caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, it's not another caller. It's Sue again. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Listen, I'm sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm like, oh, I should have asked her that. Oh, I should have asked her that. And I'm so thrilled I was able to get through again.
Great.
With everything that you saw health-wise with me,
mm-hmm.
What can I do with my chakras and stuff? Is there must be something with visualizations and stuff that I can do that might help?
Absolutely. With the fibromyalgia as a whole, what you need to work on is so funny that you asked that at the same time that I was reading Jen and I was talking about the cycle, which I'm learning a lot, you know, about cycles of energy and cycles of life. And I had some strong intuitions that fibromyalgia is associated, you know, with how we balance our life cycle and how much sleep we get, how much food we eat, when we allow ourselves to sleep, eat, exercise, work, and just be. And I think that if you can balance your life in a way where you feel like things are more equal, because my sense is that you get way too much of one thing and very little of another, and you're just incredibly overstressed in one area, but then you don't get enough of some of the things that you really enjoy. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why your body is so off, like all of its internal clocks are just off. And that's why the problems. And I think once they readjust themselves, because you have rebalanced and reprioritized based upon you, which you haven't been able to do in at least 10 or 15 years, that will really help, you know, just visualizing clocks and focusing on time and the time being of the essence in your life and how to maximize it and how to balance your time so that it's more about yourself. And I think those are some of the things that you can do. And I think that a good thing for the inflammation, specifically with the inflammation. You kind of have to focus more on water, not just drinking it, but being in it, visualizing it. You know, energetically speaking, it really helps for you as you're about to fall asleep to visualize yourself floating on water.
Okay.
You know, to visualize yourself, you know, in a boat of water, you know, in a body of water, like anything that you can get associated with water. If you want to put a water fountain by your desk, just the sounds of it will make you visualize water. When you drink it, you just have to visualize it replenishing you as it enters your body, you know, and cleansing you. And I think that that is going to be helpful because your body won't have that need to overproduce all of the inflammation if it has what it needs with this, with the energetic representation of water and what it means to your soul, because for some reason you really connect to water at a soul level, and also with actual water in your system physically, because you need it more.
I need more water physically?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And those are definitely a lot of the things that you could do.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. I do want to let people know that you have lots and lots of information on your website, as well as a way of getting in touch with you. And that is Aura Reading Reader.
It's
AuraReader.com.
Right. It's www.AuraReader.com. And, you know, we're pretty quick about answering emails, so feel free to just shoot over an email, you know, and I'll get back to you, you know, as soon as I can. And I'm generally pretty quick to schedule sessions, and I try to schedule most of them within 24 hours. I never try to make people wait. I try to just get right to it.
Yes, you definitely are very quick. But you do go over some of the colors and what they mean. And do you, I mean, what, if somebody wants to start reading an aura, is there any exercises they can do to start? I mean, when I was learning how to read auras, they basically told me just to stare at my hand. Kind of squint at my hand and look at it, and eventually it will show up. Is that a good way of getting started, or is there another exercise that you may suggest?
Well, if you're already clairvoyant, yes. You know, looking at your hands, the outline of your hands and the outline of your feet, particularly, remember when I was a child, I used to just lie on the couch and prop my feet up on the end of the couch, and I would turn the fireplace on, and you know, we had a fireplace, and I would just kind of sit there on the couch and look at the fire and then glance over at my feet. And that's, you know, one of the ways I would always view my own aura, because you can somehow see it at the from the feet perspective when it's a little further away from you. It's easier to see. Occasionally I could see it better in a mirror, especially in dim lighting. You always see it better initially, and then slowly adjust the lighting. If you have one of those dimmers in your house and you can turn up the lights a little bit at a time while adjusting it so that you can still see the aura, making sure that you still see the aura as you turn the lights up, that's a really good way. Also, if you visualize, if you're a person who enjoys meditation, a client of mine contacted me yesterday and reminded me that this was a good way. And she sent me an instant message, and she said, Pamela, what does it mean when you meditate and you see, you know, the color purple right in between your eyes? And I said, you know, that means that your third eye chakra is really doing its job.
Right, no kidding.
Yes, and that is a really good way. When you start to focus on, you know, the spot right there in between your eyes, you know, right at the bridge of your nose, that's where your third eye chakra is located. And if you focus on that, you know, and the color purple and the color violet, either way, normally that will activate your third eye chakra. And then try to see, you know, your hands, you know, up against, or see someone else's. Sometimes I can see someone else's better than mine, up against a white wall. You know, then focus on that after you've done that exercise. Also focusing on the tree lines against the sky and birds, those are really good ways as well, because the sky is relatively clear and you can see the colors against it more clearly.
Excellent. That is really wonderful, wonderful thing to consider doing. Now, I got a question. You said you told her to, Susan, to focus on water. So should she be taking, like, baths?
Yeah.
actually soaking in water.
Yeah.
Now, is that something with aquamarine?
Yes.
Because it's like literally I'm getting all these signs. I mean, I recently went to California and I went to Hawaii, and I mean, I was sitting at the beach. I got to the point where it's like, I mean, I went to Hawaii, spent a week, was on the beach every day, got totally burnt. But it's like I got so tired of the water, yet I went to California like a week later, and that's what I went, was right back to the beach.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and that does come up a lot with aquamarine, and it really helps if they have a health problem that's associated with that particular chakra system. You know, and if there's a throat chakra imbalance, as there was, you know, with Susan, and,
right.
you know, and a heart chakra imbalance, water can sometimes come up. Grass can sometimes come up. Just sitting in grass, you wouldn't believe how replenishing that is to the spirit and the body.
Oh, I walk in the desert because I'm in Tucson. So it's just walking out in nature. It's like I'm soaking in all the energy from trees and getting grounded in. It's just, if I just, my dog is wonderful. It's like, no, enough of this. Let's go for a walk. You need to give yourself some more exercise and fresh air and just rebalance yourself. So it's very good just to exercise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You wouldn't believe what moving one's body can do to remove blocks from one's aura, because movement is energy.
Definitely.
And when you move your body, you move your aura. And normally blocks will begin to, even stubborn ones, will begin to release themselves with exercise.
Definitely. And so that's why the yoga and even just dance, any kind of dance.
Yoga is amazing. It is the most amazing thing for the body that I've ever seen. I mean, when I watch people do yoga, you wouldn't believe the blocks that I see just naturally releasing themselves.
It's amazing stretching, too. It's just, it's very comforting to do it as well. It's good stretching.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to thank you very much. I know it's late where you are, so I don't want to keep you much longer. It's always a pleasure, and always get wonderful information from you every time I talk to you. So I do highly recommend you give her a call for a reading. She is well worth the time, the energy, the money, everything. And I do want to thank you very much. I also want to mention again that in a couple weeks I will be interviewing Ted Andrews, who wrote Animal Speak. And the questions are up to me, but because of his schedule, I have to record it, pre-record it before it plays. So I still want to make the audience able to ask him questions. So I'm asking you to send in your questions to jen@jenniferhillman.com. And just, if you could, in the subject, just say air animal, or tell me the animal question so I know that's what it's about. I really want to get your questions answered through this amazing man. He has been studying animals for decades and decades. Animal Speak is just one of those books that if you want to know what an animal means, the energy, the background, it is a wonderful reference for anybody. And he's now putting it on CD, which is, it's wonderful to listen to. So I just want to put that out and say, please send those in. Also, I'd like to let you know that next week I have Peggy Porter. She is a woman who actually had 65% of her body burned and had near-death experience, I think 3 or 4 of them. And she's very, very intuitive, and we're going to be talking about her experiences next week. And I am all out of time. I want to thank Pam again for staying up late and taking the call today. I would like to thank the callers also for calling in. So with what we like to do is we hope with each breath of air you gain new insights, and inspiration. I hope you have a great week. This is Jennifer Hillman wishing you many blessings and a wonderful good night. And please enjoy that beautiful full moon. Thank you. Good night.
Some people measure things.